This is Hot Tech with Jan Vermeulen.
Good afternoon, Jan. It's been a while. Nice to chat with you again.
Good afternoon. It's a pleasure to be here.
Wonderful. Now, you've given us some very interesting stories to consider. There's one which leapt out at me about BlackBerry phones are back. And I'll tell you why. Because I think my last BlackBerry, the last one I had, was probably 10, 15 years ago. But I do have a friend. She's quite high profile. She's one of these so-called influencers. And she is so loyal to the brand. I think she's had an unbroken run of BlackBerries since they became commercially available. So BlackBerry phones making a comeback. It might as well be Nokia phones. What's happening here?
Yeah. So, well, Nokia is back, right? So Nokia is being manufactured by a company called HMD Global. Their headquarters is right across the road from Nokia in Finland. But yeah, what's been happening with these brands of yesteryear is that they don't make the phones directly anymore. They license the rights to make those phones to other companies. Now, what happened with BlackBerry is a company called TCL, that's the same company behind Alcatel phones, I believe. They licensed the BlackBerry brand, and for the longest time, they were making Android-based BlackBerry phones. But they said that they would be giving up those rights. They would stop selling BlackBerry smartphones by the end of August 2020. And a new company has appeared to take up those rights called Onward Mobility. And so they are going to be building new BlackBerry smartphones, including new 5G BlackBerry smartphones. We'll wait and see exactly what the phones will look like, but I expect that they will continue to run Android.
And do you think they'll still have that distinctive BlackBerry keyboard? I think, you know, when that came out, that was a big wow factor and a feature, but these days we've just got Samsung touch screens and Apple phones and so on.
Yeah. So that is one of the key features that has been announced, is that they will be launching a 5G BlackBerry smartphone with a physical keyboard, that patented BlackBerry keyboard that so many people are still loyal to today. That's gonna stick around.
Interesting. I'll wait and see. I tend to just use my phone until it falls apart. You know, I only upgrade every 5 years or so, and I've been loyal to another brand for a while, but we'll see what happens. Then, Jan, you've got two stories. We'll see, we've got time to get to both of them, but they both of direct interest to a lot of our listeners, I guess. And there's a theme linking them. The one is about going off grid. How much you'll have to pay to cancel Eskom and go off grid, where we've got load shedding, which doesn't seem to end. There's no end in sight. And people are now trying to do the sums and work out what it's going to cost them and when it will pay itself back.
Right. So for that reason, I went to a local distributor called Rubicon. And I say local, but a big distributor with a local presence, and chatted to them about this. So the thing about getting some load shedding protection is that it can range from a couple of thousand rand for like maybe a UPS and a battery, or maybe, you know, you go and invest in a generator. But what I wanted to find out was, what if I say, you know what, I want to kick Eskom to the curb. I never want to deal with Eskom in my life again. What is that going to cost? And they gave us like just a quick rundown of the most average home that we could come up with, which is 3 bedrooms, 2 bathrooms, 2 geysers, and a small pool. What would that cost to build a solar panel system with the necessary backup batteries and stuff to make yourself completely independent of Eskom? And the point that Rubicon wanted to make was, there's ways to do this and there's ways to do this. So if you just take the electricity that you're consuming right now and you build your own solar power plant to serve your needs, you know, that'll cost you upwards of 300,000 rand, 350,000 rand for a home like this in suburban Johannesburg. But if you do an energy efficiency audit, and you switch to a single solar or heat pump geyser, you switch to gas appliances, you know, you make some adjustments before you switch to an off-grid system like this, you can reduce that price from around 350,000 rand to around 240,000 rand and maybe even less if you find other ways to be more energy efficient along the way. So I thought that was an interesting exercise. And just to sort of make this clear, these are not quotes. This is just a kind of indicative price of what you should be looking at based on like a power, you know, a power budget, that the Rubicon guys did for me and so on. So if you want to look at the nitty gritties and technical details, all that's in the story on the site.
Well, we definitely need to check that out. I think that price tag is probably a bit dear for a lot of residential homes, but I would imagine for mixed use, I'm thinking of people that work from home, maybe home offices of 5 to 10 people, where you need an uninterrupted supply, where you've got to take into account productivity losses. That might start to make sense, and the payback period will probably be shortened to a couple of years in that case.
Yes, and I think, you know, if people look at, you know, the likelihood, or, you know, if you weigh how likely is it, you know, stage one and stage two load shedding is one thing, but what happens when we go up to stage 4, 5, 6 again?
Mm.
Or you know, like even worse, if that goes to 7 or 8, then what happens? I don't think it will necessarily get that bad, but the experts are warning, and that includes the CSIR and other energy experts, Ted Blom among them, Chris Yelland, warning that load shedding is going to be around for a long time still, at least another 3 to 5 years, and it's going to get worse than it is right now. Right now, obviously, being in a recession type economic scenario as a result of the COVID-19 pandemic and the resultant lockdown, means that the demand on electricity is lower. When that starts picking up again, then load shedding is back.
Yes, food for thought, and I think that's going to maybe tip some people's hands, Jan. And then lastly, and I say this is a slightly related story because obviously for those of us that go off-grid, that has a knock-on effect for the municipality, normally a metro where we're staying and their revenue-generating capability.
Yeah, very related.
So related to that, you've got a story why South African cities want to charge networks for installing fiber.
Yeah, and the reason those two things are directly related is because I got to sit down with a senior official at the Coga municipality, that's Jeffreys Bay in the Eastern Cape, and other surrounding areas, St. Francis Bay and so on, and he explained that the bulk of their budget, the bulk of their revenue and income comes from electricity sales.
That's true.
And so, you know, they generate 84% of their own revenue. Only 16% comes from government grants and stuff. And so, their, electricity revenue, he told me, for the last 10 years has been flat. And so that is a huge problem for municipalities. And the reason that's concerning is because the municipality itself has been growing. More people are coming into Jeffreys, or they're retiring down there. They've got developments happening there. And so even though the population is going up and the number of homes and businesses is going up, the electricity revenue is remaining flat. And, you know, how on earth does that happen? You know, the answer is, you know, see above what we just discussed about load shedding and stuff. But now they're looking for a new source of revenue to go hand in hand with the demands on the municipality. And so what they're looking at doing, and I'm not saying I'm agreeing with this, I'm just kind of relaying, what they explained to me. So what they're looking at doing is effectively taxing the rollout of fiber, and turning fiber into a utility that they can then resell in the same way as they resell electricity, or at least generate an income from, like they do with electricity. And so the first way they're looking at doing this is asking fiber network operators to pay an annual fee per kilometer of fiber that they've got in the road reserve belonging to the municipality. And that can end up being large sums of money. And at the end of the day, That's just an extra tax, because mm-hmm. what's going to happen is that the price of fiber is going to remain high. It's not going to come down as fast, or it's going to go up maybe in some instances. And so that ends up just being an additional tax on us, the end user, at the end of the day.
Yeah, exactly. And, this is a trend. It's not just in South Africa, Jan. Municipalities and local governments are scrambling to find different ways to replace their flat or falling service charge revenues as people go off grid. Oh, I'd love to discuss this more. You may or may not know, I'm a huge nerd, and part of my work is local government and tariff pricing. But let's not bore the listeners. We'll catch up with you again next week, Tuesday, with some more fantastic stories. You can check out these stories and more at mybroadband.co.za. That's Jan Vermeulen, editor at large. Thanks so much again for joining us. We'll catch up with you next week.